Thanksgiving. I trust you celebrated it and gave it the time it deserves. It's funny how during Thanksgiving people were talking about preparing for another holiday. We hadn't even gotten through Thanksgiving yet. And I've already mentioned to you how I love Thanksgiving because it's such a selfless kind of a holiday to just pause. And I think it is nice that we live in a country where maybe not everybody shares the same belief and not everybody is grounded, their faith is grounded in the Lord and the Word, but yet still it makes everybody stop and think about that whole concept of giving thanks. And we had a wonderful time together last Sunday night and Thanksgiving service and went around, and it was interesting to hear the various comments of what you're really thankful for. You know, and that's a wonderful thing. I trust that if you haven't been prone to do so in the past, because not everybody exudes a thankful spirit. Have you found that out? But it's good. It's good for us to stop and think about that. I think God wants us to be thankful, to be grateful, to be thankful for what we've been given, to be grateful to the Lord for what He's given us. And that's a good thing. And do you know that just that alone, if you will allow that spirit to permeate your being, it'll change the way you live. I believe it. To have a thankful heart will actually change the way a person views life and will have a change in your behavior. Don't get focused on your wants so much as what you have reason to be thankful for. Focus on that instead. And if you will do that, you'll find that things will change in life for you. So this is a wonderful holiday that we've just celebrated, and we're kind of in that transitional part where now we're moving into another celebration, another season for us. And we go from Thanksgiving to gift giving. And I think that's probably a good title for the sermon this morning, from Thanksgiving to gift giving. And that's where our ideas, where all our thoughts are moving in that direction now. We're anxiously going about and making our lists and wondering what is it we're going to give, and there may be various motives behind the giving. We find that not everybody has the same motive when they give as we approach the holiday season and Christmas season. And I want to ask this question. Why do we give gifts at Christmas? What's motivating us? And this morning I think there are some answers from God's Word that will help us in answering that question. Some believe that we give gifts because the Magi came in seeking out the Christ child, and they brought gifts, and we rehearsed that story. A few weeks we'll have the children, they're going to have a presentation, and perhaps that'll come up in the presentation. The Magi, they brought gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And some think, well, maybe that's the reason why we do that. I think perhaps that's part of the reason why. Maybe it's become traditional because of that example. But I think really at the center of what gives Christmas meaning is the fact that the simple truth, and it's a two-word sentence. A two-word sentence really sums it up, I think, very well for us as to why we give gifts at Christmas time. And that two-word sentence is this. It's because God gave. God gave. Have you ever stopped and pondered the wonder and the blessing of serving a God who's a giving God? Think of all those who, in the world today, they have their gods that they're serving, but their gods demand something from them. Their gods say, you must give me something if you want to experience some kind of blessing in your life. If you want things to go well, you have to give me something. And so they bring their offerings of all kinds of sorts. Sometimes it's fruits and vegetables. Sometimes it's animals that they sacrifice. Sometimes they'll do things to themselves. They'll cut themselves or whatever. They're doing these things to try to appease the gods they serve. And the simple message that
that really it stands out in stark contrast to the gods of this world. It's our God. It's the fact that instead of us trying to appease our God to find his favor, that we serve a God of love. And the scripture tells us that God gave. God gave. He's a giving God. It's central to his character as to who he is. He didn't have to do what he has done with respect to the world and the creation of the world and all of the things that we experience, the blessings that we experience. But God did it anyways. Why? Because there's something about his nature. God is love. We know that. And God is a giving God.
I think if there's a reason that should be at the basis of our giving, it should be because we serve the God who gives. He's generous. And I think God wants us also to have that in our spirit, in our personality. God wants you to have a generous heart, a generous spirit. Christmas is the one time of year that it reminds us, perhaps, of the joy of giving. There are a few other occasions during the year when you give gifts for various things, but Christmas especially, above all other times, for at least for most people in this country and for Christians around the world, it's that time that God gives us to enjoy the blessing that comes when we give. I think of what it tells us in God's Word. If you can see it throughout, if you look up the whole subject of giving and the giving of gifts, and that in the, you'll find it throughout Scripture. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, you'll find different kinds of gifts were given. And you'll find that God has, in many ways, this characteristic of God giving, it's displayed. God's gift to the world. We often rehearse that at that wonderful verse of Scripture. If you don't know any Scripture at all but one verse, you know the one verse that most children learn as little toddlers and growing up in Sunday school. And it's really the gospel in one verse. If you didn't know, some people say, well, Pastor, I don't know a lot of Scripture. How can I witness to my friends? Just one verse. You know it by heart, most of you. John 3:16, it tells us that God so loved the world that he gave. There it is. There's that two-word expression. That he gave. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's the gospel in a nutshell. It's the one verse that can say it all for those who are searching for hope in life, who are searching for something to get them out of their predicament. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should have eternal life. We see it again in Romans 6:23. It says, for the wages of sin is death. You can mark that one down. That's a truism, if ever there were one. That the wages of sin is death. That you live your life in a certain way. And at the end of your life, in fact, many people have this view, only they think it's a balance. They think their life is like on a scale of some kind. They're hoping that they do enough good deeds to outweigh the bad. And they think that everything's going to be okay if the good deeds outweigh the bad. But that's not true. It's really not true. You can have all kinds of good deeds and still not make it to heaven. It's whether or not you have Jesus as Lord and Savior in your life. That's the difference. That's the difference. And this starts out in this passage, for the wages of sin is death. But then notice the second part of this verse says, again, here's that theme, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Some people, I kind of smile, and I've heard it so often. They say, well, I don't want to really serve the Lord because of all this, what I've got to give up or what I've got to sacrifice. It says the free gift of God is eternal life. You embrace the free gift of God. And you don't think about you sacrificing anything. You think about getting the free gift. You like free gifts? I know a lot of people like free gifts. You know, the announcer comes on, says, "Folks, I want to direct your attention to the back right part of the store. You'll see the blue light spinning over there. We have a special for you." And all of a sudden, people think, "Oh, what is it? What is it?" Now, you have to listen for what it is, because it might be something you have very little interest in. What really gets you is when they don't tell you what it is and say, they just say, "Just go on over there. It's something really special that everybody will want." And you get over there and you find out maybe it's not what you want. But if they say, "And everyone who stays and sees the demonstration, everyone has a free gift." And they all line up, and God help the guy if he runs out of free gifts, you know. And you get your little, you know, paring knife that looks like a toy or whatever it is that you're getting after the demonstration. But you got your free gift. Everybody likes a free gift. And with Jesus, he gives free life to all, and it's something wonderful. It's not cheap. It's not common. It's special. And think how many people that will turn it down. The free gift of God is your life. And then Ephesians 2:8 says this: "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." And then here's that proclamation again: "It is the gift of God." You cannot separate salvation and what you have enjoyed because of God's divine favor. You can't separate that from the concept of gift giving. God is a giving God, and he gives you eternal life. He gives it to you. Do you deserve it? You don't deserve it. Sometimes we want to give things to people because we think they deserve it. Have you ever withheld a gift because you thought someone didn't deserve it? Be truthful now. You know, you're making out your list of whatever you're giving. "Well, give here, it is." "Well, I don't know." You know how that, they really don't deserve it. So you withhold the gift because of some reason. Now, you all know, you all have relatives, I'm sure. Some of you are going to be going to family gatherings. And there are going to be some you're going to look forward to giving to, but there's going to be others you're going to say, "I don't know if I should do that this year." That's the way it is. There's always, you know, strings attached to whether or not we give. But it's a free gift that he gives. Well, God's gift to the world, then, is this salvation through Christ. But then also we have in Scripture this concept of gift giving that says that Christ gave gifts to the church. Did you know that? Christ gave gifts to the church. It's giving there also. In Ephesians 4:8 it says, "When he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives." And it says, "And he gave gifts to men." He gave gifts. And we're not talking here so much about salvation. We're talking about special things that God has given to mankind. And in Ephesians 4:11 it says this. He gave, and then he goes on to say, the gifts that he gave to the church: apostles, the apostles, and prophets, and he gave evangelists, and then some as pastors and teachers. These are all gifts that God has given to the church. We don't always regard it that way, perhaps. But the Scripture says that these are gifts that God gave to the church. He gave these gifts. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and pastors and teachers. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And in verse 14 of that fourth chapter of Ephesians it says, and it tells us the reason why. As a result, we are no longer to be children. That is a real important phrase. You ought to underline that, especially if you're a new Christian. One of the most frustrating things is to be involved in the work of the Lord over a period of time and dealing with people who have supposedly known the Lord for a long time, and you still have to treat them like children because they never grew beyond that first day when they accepted the Lord, like little kids. You know, God doesn't want you to stay where you are. It's not just, "Well, I've got salvation now, I'll be on my way." That's it. God wants you to grow up. Grow up. That's what it says. The whole passage here. If you read that passage in Ephesians 4, the whole passage, the whole reason why it was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit
is to encourage the church to promote discipleship and growing up in the faith. That's what it's all about. So God gave this gift for a reason. He gave all these gifts. He said, you're no longer to be children tossed here and there, listen, by waves and carried about by, first of all, every wind of doctrine. Some people are always looking for a new doctrine or new things. There's nothing new under the sun. The wisest man who ever lived, you know what he said? There's nothing new under the sun. And he lived a long time ago. Say, oh, he just didn't know how advanced we're going to be today. The wisest man who ever lived said there's nothing new under the sun in analyzing human nature and behavior. Nothing new under the sun. And there are those that are going to be tossed here and there. You ever been out on the sea and you're in a boat and the storm comes up and the waves get high and you thought that boat was so stable? And all of a sudden it begins to toss you around. It's amazing. Some of the large vessels, you say, why, they're so big, they'll never rock or roll on the seas. And yet there are storms that'll take and turn those great ships so that they'll almost turn over. It's such a rough sea. And so the winds are so high. And it's amazing. And smaller craft don't stand a chance in some of the big storms that come up on the open water and open seas. That's the picture we get. There are those who are being tossed all around. But God has given us a gift. He's given us these gifts, these different ones who have these gifts for the church so that we are no longer to be children tossed about by every wind of doctrine. Secondly, by the trickery of men. Some people are being tricked. And then thirdly, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. These are ways God's people can be, if they're not careful, can be tricked. God doesn't want you to be like that. So why does he want us to grow up? So that we'll know truth from error. That we'll know sound doctrine from unsound doctrine. That's why God gave gifts to those who help in the ministry of the word. And then also, not only did he give gifts to the church, God has given gifts to the world, he gives gifts to the church, but he gives gifts to each person. Each person here. In fact, as a child of God, you have a special gift. You might not know what that is. Some wonder. They say, what is my gift? I've at times asked you to ask yourself that question. You know, what is my gift? If God has given me a gift, what is the gift that I have? And it's important to discover that, because if you will discover what that gift is and then use it for the glory of God, there is blessing that awaits you. If you use the gift of God properly, if it's in your life, God will bless you and he will open doors of opportunity that you don't even see are there. They are there. And he will open those doors to you. It's a terrible thing to live life and to kind of get into a monotonous cycle where, you know, tomorrow is going to be the same as today, which is the same as yesterday. And it's just, it's monotonous. There are a lot of people who aren't really happy with the life they live. They don't know how to get out of it. It just seems to be kind of like they're spinning around in a wheel and they wind right back up where they started. You know, it's just not, life's not exciting. Life becomes exciting when you understand the gift that God has given you, and then you actively pursue God and his will and use that gift that God has given you. God will bless you beyond your imagination and help you, and you will begin to understand what it means to live a life that is fulfilled. Fulfilling life. Fulfilling life. Some of the things you think will make you happy in life really will not make you happy in life. You can gain some of the things that you have prioritized in your life. You think they're essential. You're striving for, you've made them your goal. You know what happens? When you get there, you find out it wasn't so important. You think of, okay, now, what's next? Lord, is that it? Is that it? How many celebrities have reached that point in life? They reach the pinnacle of fame and glory and adulation, and then they look around, they seem to have it all, and they say, is that it? Is that what it's all about? I've arrived here, and yet they still have an emptiness in their soul and in their life. They try to find things to fill it. Sometimes it's a sense of belonging. Sometimes it's they try to fill that void with family, the idea of family. And a lot of people, that especially those who don't know the Lord in a personal way, you ask them, what's the most important thing in life? You know, a lot of them will say, why, it's family. It's family. Well, that's good. Family is good. But there's something far more important than family. And what they're doing is they're taking the concept of family and being a part of a group of people that love you and care for you. They're taking that and they're trying to fill the God void in their life with family. There's nothing wrong with family. We want to enjoy our families, and we want that. Our bonds of family are important. But that's really not the answer. It all comes back to Jesus. Jesus. It's what God gave. You need to receive what God gave. In Jesus, you'll find fulfillment for every aspect of living. When you embrace Him and you accept Him into your heart and life, and He'll begin to sort things out. And then He'll give you the joy that you cannot find in the things of this world. You might find some momentary pleasure, but when you're alone in your room and no one's around and whatever it was that you were participating in that you thought would just give, make life meaningful, you're not participating in all that, you're just by yourself. And there come those times and you wonder, Lord, where is that joy? God, if you're there, what's it all about? It's Jesus. That's what it's all about. It says that God gave gifts to each person. Notice what it says in Matthew, the 7th chapter. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give what is good, notice this, to those who ask Him. Have you been asking God for that which is good? Or have you been seeking things in the wrong places? If you ask of God, He'll give good things to those who ask Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7 says, each man has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a special gift, and it goes on to say, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You see, God gives gifts to each person. And He wants you to use that gift. As you use the gift, you find joy and fulfillment in life. Well, to conclude, we say, well, why do we give gifts? Well, I don't know why you're going to give gifts this Christmas season. Maybe you feel obligated. Right? Maybe that's it. Say, I know I'm going to get a gift from so-and-so. I better get them a gift. You know? And it's up to you if you know, what you do. And I know there's probably going to be some you're going to shun and you're not going to get them a gift. I don't care. I'm not getting them a gift. Remember what they gave me last year? They gave me that popcorn stuff again. I'm not going to go out and beat the bushes trying to find something special for them. I got another tin of popcorn. Or you say, no, they gave me another pair of socks. How many of you say, oh, I got another tie. I don't even own a suit. I mean, there's, you know, you get those kind of gifts, and some of us have become very adept at re-gifting. You know, you get a gift, and then you're in a situation where you have to have a gift, so what do? You gift the gift. You take the gift and you gift it to someone else. You bless someone else with that gift that you got blessed with. You know what I mean. Yeah, you know, all these little things are going on. And, you know, I leave that. That's up to you, and... Why do we give at all? I think the underlying reason, at least for the child of God, is this. We give because He gave. Giving, as I mentioned, is a part of the nature of God. We reflect His image when we spread goodwill and give to bless the lives of others. Think about that. You know, I see
the people that are out there near the kettles that they have where they're collecting for the holiday season. And I used to just go about my business, and I'd see them, you know, they become a part of our life. We see them outside the stores collecting for the poor and the needy, and I'd go by every now and then, I'd put something in there, but the Lord spoke to my heart one time to just take a closer look at the people standing there, and not just to give, but to give a little word, encourage them, and I thought about that. I try to give, whenever I see something like that, I try to give something. It's not always the same amount, but I try to find something. You know how it is, sometimes you're reaching your pocket, man, I left my billfold or whatever. I mean, everything's credit card nowadays. They don't take credit cards yet, not at the kettle, they don't anyways. Maybe someday they'll have it. Yeah, just stick your card in the slot, pull it out again, and they'll ring you up, you know. I'm waiting for that one. That's a good idea for somebody, by the way. You know, get one of those card reading kettles, you know. But the idea, you know, just doing something, because when there are those who are less fortunate. There's always somebody worse off than you. Don't ever get a pity party going where you think, you know, woe is me, nobody's experiencing what I'm going through. Don't ever go to that place. That's not a happy place to be at. There's always somebody less fortunate than you. Just remember that. And so I give for that reason. And I also, I think of the, I've been drawn more to the person. I look at, sometimes they're young, sometimes they're older, sometimes it's freezing cold, and sometimes even the clothing they have on is not real warm. And they're there, you know, ringing the bell of faith. And I always try to say something to encourage them a little bit too, to let them know I appreciate them for what they are doing. They're doing something that somebody else wasn't willing to do. But that's what it's all about, you see. This is a season for giving. It's a time when we give because God gave. It's a part of the nature of God. We are, in a sense, a reflection of the God we serve when we give. We have the example of the Apostle Paul. Notice when he said this in Acts 20, verse 35, it's recorded. He's sharing with his friends, and they're not going to see him. He's really giving kind of a little farewell address, and he's thanking them for all they have done in his ministry as he's making his way to Rome, and he's thanking these people, and he says this in his remarks. He says, "In everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said." These are the words of Jesus he recalled in that moment. "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And that's at the heart of Christmas. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And God gave his Son to set an example for us. And if nothing else, if you take nothing else away from this service than that simple little truth from the words of Jesus, if you will embrace this truth and if you will allow it to become a part of your life and the way you see life, it will revolutionize you. It'll change you. It is more blessed to give than to receive. There are some folk who are always wanting to be on the receiving end. Two lines. People are lined up. There's a poster in front of them. One says, "Line up here if you want to receive." This one says, "Line up here if you want to give." Which line would you be in? It is more blessed to give than to receive. If you will seize hold of this divine truth, it's a nugget here in Acts that we find deposited there by the Apostle Paul. Because if anyone learned the essence and the truth of this, it was the Apostle Paul. In all that he faced, he poured out his life for the sake of the gospel. And he found extreme fulfillment in doing that. He learned the truth of that simple thing that Jesus said. And he left it with those followers
that were lamenting over the fact that he was going to leave them, he gave them that little nugget. He said, remember, the Lord said this, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Moving from thanksgiving to gift giving, that's where we are right now. Let love, that is the love for God and love for each other, be the motivation for the gifts that we give this holiday season. May it be said of us that we truly give because God gave. Let that motivate us. From thanksgiving to gift giving, and let it be from cheerful hearts that we give to those who are in need, to those we love, and to those that we're called upon to serve in some way. Would you bow your heads in prayer? Father, at this time of year, so many people are caught up with the whole idea of, some would say it's materialism because they just have to get that perfect gift, and some will be frustrated because whatever it is they're looking for, it's all sold out or it's gone, it's unobtainable. There are going to be a lot of harsh things that are going to be said, hurt feelings this time of year, and it's tragic because some are going to lose sight of the real meaning of Christmas and the whole idea of gift giving and the significance of it. Right here at the beginning of it, now we've just come through a time when we give thanks. And Father, I pray that we'll not allow the spirit of the world to enter in when it comes to the giving of gifts and the receiving of gifts. Lord, I pray that we will embrace the true spirit of this Christmas season, and may our lives and the deeds that we do over these next few weeks, may they be a true reflection of that divine love that you displayed for us when you gave. Let that be the motivation behind all that we do when it comes to the giving of gifts. And I pray, Lord, that each one of us will discover that not only have you given eternal life, but also there are gifts that each one of us have. May we not allow those gifts that you have given to be unused. But Lord, may we discover the joy and the thrill that comes when we are active in pursuing your interests above ours, and we are using those gifts that you've given us for the furtherance of your kingdom so that others might be blessed. Let us be caught up in the thrill, the true joy of giving. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. There are many ways in which you can give. It's not just money. You can give of yourself. You can give your time. There are some things you think are so important that really aren't as important as you think they are. I have an idea, a feeling that eventually when we're all in heaven someday, if we do think back to what happened on earth here, I don't know what's going to happen because, you know, not there yet. But if we can think back and recall what happened on earth, I think one of the things that is going to cause pain, if we can experience pain at all, or regret, is all the things that we thought were really important. And we're going to look at that and we're going to say, man, what a waste of time. I wasted my life. For some of us, it's probably going to be as high as 80 or 90% or more of our lives since we've met Christ have been wasted because we set our sights on things. We gave them value that
truly wasn't there. We placed a higher priority on some things that really, when you think of eternity, it was foolish. The value was never there. Think about that. Perhaps we need to ask the Lord, God, during this time, when we think about gifts and giving and all that and the value of things, and help us to really have the mind of Christ so that we're pursuing things that really are important, that have eternal value. I don't know, some of us will probably, you know how people sit around and they talk and they reminisce and all that. I wonder what kind of recollections we're going to have. I wonder who's going to come up with the idea, well, I think I wasted more of my life than you wasted yours, you know. I think you did more for the Lord, and you really used your gift well, and I commend you for that. I don't know what the conversation is, but I have a feeling if there are regrets in heaven, only God knows, but if there are, some of us are going to have a lot to regret because we did not place value on the things that are truly precious in God's sight. Don't let that be said of you, my friend. You can't change the past, but you can always set your sails for the future and where you're headed. Start heading in the right direction. Make today count, and make every day that follows count for the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be blessed. Would you stand now with me? What a great way to lead up to this. This segue right into the fact that right after the service, we need help. I see some people going out the door like this. We won't blame you. I know some of you have things pressing. But you know, really, we do need help. And if you can help us get the church all taken care of and decorated, it won't take that long. And like I said, there's going to be something the ladies have prepared. And you can help bless them a little monetary gift and also get some nourishment, and it'll be a good time. That's right after the service this morning. And let's be praying. Let's be praying for there's a lot to pray for at this time of year. Pray for our nation, pray for our community, and a lot of things going on all around us, and there are people who are less fortunate, and let's pray that somehow God uses us in a special way to reach out to this world, okay? Jesus, thank you for what you have said to us today. You've spoken through your Spirit to our hearts. What a wonderful time, being a place where we can sing songs, experience the presence of God, and we can open our hearts, and we have the freedom to do that, this great country of ours. What a wonderful privilege we have. And now we have the privilege of leaving from this place, and we have the freedom to participate in those things that are truly worthwhile. Help us to make good choices in the week that's before us. I ask your hand of protection to be upon the families that are represented here. Protect them, Lord. Keep them in your divine care. And may we come together again in the future, gather together to again rejoice in your presence, and we'll be able to see all the victories that have been won because we, your people, have been faithful in doing what you've called us to do. I ask your blessing upon each one here now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Lord's Day. Don't forget, no ministries tonight, because a lot of you are going to help us here in getting the church ready. All right, thank you. God bless you.
On my own, now that I am seen.